This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Purzel. An introduction to classical music on the way today. How do you listen? What do you listen for? How's this music survived for so long? Those questions and your questions about classical music answered later in the program, all in preparation for the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra's Luminosity 2014. Next weekend in Washington Park, in front of Music Hall, a concert and a light show. And to begin with, you will be hearing about that spectacular event and all the magic behind it. If you have a question or comment, you can call 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or get in touch through Facebook or Twitter. For this peek behind the scenes of Luminosity, Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra Vice President of Communications Chris Pinello is here in the studio with me, along with Steve McGowan and Dan Reynolds from the creative design and production company Brave Berlin, which creates the digital projections from Luminosity. Welcome to Cincinnati Edition, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Well, I want to go back to the beginning. Where did the idea for Luminosity come from, and how did it all come together last year? I guess I'll throw it to you to begin with, Chris, and then you can talk about how Dan and Steve got swept up into the
sure.
fray.
Well, Luminosity was born in January of 2013 at the Symphony Hotel on 14th Street, right across from Music Hall. And there was a group of community volunteers and orchestra musicians that were coming together to figure out the best way to introduce and welcome Louis Langres as the 13th music director of the CSO. And it was Tim Maloney from the Hale Foundation who actually had seen projection mapping done and said, wouldn't it be cool if in Washington Park we did a live concert with the orchestra, Louis conducting, and turned Music Hall into this incredible canvas and of light and beauty and animation. And that's where the idea of Luminosity was born. And we turned it around awfully quickly and turned to some very, very capable gentlemen in the room with us here today to create some of those spectacular visuals that really caught the world by storm.
And so did people look at Tim and say, what are you talking about, Tim? I believe before Luminosity, I may have seen one YouTube video of some music and light projection on the front of some building in Europe, but I really hadn't seen a lot about this.
Yeah, there was the Ralph Lauren building in New York. There was a popular YouTube video showing some really interesting display of this image projection mapping. Sydney, Australia has an entire festival around projection mapping, certainly very popular in Europe. So, but when he first said it, I didn't know what he was talking about. And there were a lot of great ideas thrown out that day at the meeting, different ways to welcome Louis to the community. This certainly seemed like the biggest. We had known, for instance, in Chicago, welcoming a new music director, they did a huge concert at Millennium Park and had a lot of people there. So the idea of having something, an event with the orchestra where the community was welcome to come in and we could have a lot of people not only be exposed to a new music director and welcome a new music director, but also be exposed to a great community asset in a world-class orchestra. So Luminosity, which wasn't called Luminosity yet, of course, but this idea of Luminosity was born that day, and we knew the time frame was pretty short, but that seemed to be one of the projects. We had other projects that day that also we implemented, but that particular project we ran with, and we knew it was going to be a complicated undertaking, and it really worked out really well for us.
So you said you started in January and turned it around by, was it July?
It was August.
August.
August,
yeah.
Is when the first Luminosity happened last year.
So you were expecting 20,000 people and 35,000 showed up. A bit of a surprise.
It was a bit of a surprise. We had done a concert to open up Washington Park, the newly, beautifully revitalized Washington Park. And if anyone hasn't been to Washington Park recently, I highly encourage you to come down. There's beautiful fountains. It's just a wonderful, wonderful place. And we had done a concert, a free concert, with our partners, the Ballet, the Opera, and the May Festival the summer before. And 6,000 people showed up. Well, that's great. What a great turnout. First, very respectable, of course. And so we're doing this particular event. We thought, well, we might have more people for this. So we'll do two nights. And I was thinking, well, maybe we might get 10,000 per night. Others were saying, well, we'll have 10,000 collectively. I said, well, we'll see what happens. And, of course, the very first night we had 15,000. And then the following night, which was a Sunday night, you'd think Saturday would be more popular than Sunday. But lo and behold, Sunday we had 20,000. And now that we've actually gone through and measured, you know, the park a little better and understand how many people we can squeeze in, we believe it may have been more than 20,000. You know, when you're doing these crowd estimates, you're kind of glancing at it and saying, well, I mean, how many people can fit into this particular area? It was a absolutely mind-blowing, tremendous turnout. What great energy, what a great shared experience, and it ended up going global in a sense.
That's Chris Spinello from the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra here along with Steve McGowan and Dan Reynolds from Brave Berlin talking about Luminosity 2014 next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Yes, they've expanded to this year in Washington Park in front of Music Hall with the Cincinnati Pops and the Cincinnati Symphony playing. If you have a question or comment, you can give us a call at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU or get to us through Facebook or Twitter. Well, Dan, Steve, tell me about the technology behind Luminosity. Is this something that is new? Chris was mentioning, you know, seeing some in New York and some in Europe and Sydney as well. How long has this been out? And explain exactly what it is.
Yeah. Well, it's called video projection mapping, and it's not new. It's not new. It's been around for 10 years or so, really big. And as you mentioned, it's much bigger and more popular in Europe than it has been in the United States. But the technology, it's simple. It's you're just projecting actually video content onto an architectural surface, but you're doing it in a way that it's hyper accurate and mapped to the actual shape and the nuances of the architecture. That's what makes it unique and kind of gives it an optical illusion kind of effect. When Tim called us and asked if we could do this, we had done things, and Steve and I have together been working for 20 years developing media. We've been media designers for environments of all kinds, retail spaces, hospitality spaces, entertainment venues, theater kind of things. But we had never done anything exactly like this. But that's of course, how you want to go into any creative endeavor, is something new and challenging. So we really had to learn a lot of it ourselves. We had to invent some processes that we had never actually done precisely that way before, and find ways to create content that was going to be complementary for a live performance from the orchestra and work together with it and work in concert with it and that was all new to us, all very new and in a rather compressed time frame too.
I was going to say, so when they said, hey, this is good, you've never done it before, and oh, by the way, we're going to do it in August.
That's right.
So the fast, steep learning curve. Huh?
Yeah. And I mean, and honestly, you know, I knew right away it's not cheap. So I kind of pointed that out right away. I said, well, if you want to get into this, you should know it's not inexpensive. It's going to really take some rallying from supporters, and that was, thank God, that was the team that took that on did such a fantastic job, and the city just stepped up with such generosity to make it happen. So,
and that's kind of the science of it. The magic really comes in the storytelling and really getting to understand and meet the music. And what was so great is meeting Louis Longgrave for the first time and how experimental he is, and what a gift he is to Cincinnati, and then to a couple creative guys who were just kind of hungry for a new medium. And so that's where it began. So it's a very inclusive and iterative process. We started getting really deep into the music and then kind of looking at visual cues, you know, things that were inspiring to us or what we maybe, how we thought we could bring the music to life, knowing that our canvas was going to be this architectural gem that sits in Washington Park. So all of that combined led to some really exciting creative sessions with the entire team and expanded team, because it's a cast of thousands. You know, we have writers, we have illustrators, we have graphic designers, we have motion
staging
designers.
Folks, and yeah, I mean it's a thousand. We've said it before. It's Luminosity. The success of it last year came down to 1,000 people on their A game. Everybody doing literally the best work of their career. And that's everyone at the CSO, everyone in on our team brought their A game, and bit of luck involved too with that, no doubt. But it was really, really well executed and by everyone involved.
So how's the process start? You mentioned having to have an exact map. So how do you get an exact map of the front of Music Hall? What is the process?
Well, we were lucky with that in that, actually, it's funny because I tell people this. If I were a projection map and if I were a projection mapping artist looking for a building to do a piece of artwork on, Music Hall is probably the last one I would pick.
Yes.
If you look closely at a lot of the examples that are floating around out there, generally you want a lighter color building, not deep red brick, and you want something that is a bit simpler in its architecture and its facade.
Something square and rectangular.
Yeah, Music Hall has none of that. Yes. There's no right angles. There's a ton of nuances and details to the facade of it that are just crazy. There's windows that are open, windows that are bricked over. There's all kinds of things that aren't symmetrical that should be symmetrical. It's an old, beautiful building, and all those things that make it a beautiful building to look at are challenging from a from a projection mapping standpoint.
When Hanford was designing in the 1800s, he wasn't thinking about projection mapping.
Yeah,
I bet he wasn't.
But actually, it's funny because that all of those challenges, I think, turned out to be in the end part of the secret of our success, because we gave ourselves permission to, and part of this had to do with just needing to coordinate with the music as well. We kind of gave ourselves permission to ignore some of the standard tricks of the projection mapping trade, some of the standard kind of optical illusion things where you're spinning architecture around. One, we just didn't feel like that was appropriate for the music as well. We didn't want it to look cheap, or we didn't want it to look kind of gimmicky. We wanted it to be reverent of the music. We're playing music that's been, you know, it's been around for a long, long time and is revered as the best of its kind. So we needed to do something that was appropriate for that. So early on, we literally went out to Washington Park. I took a tall ladder and I got way back across the lawn, almost to Ray Street. And I got on a ladder and I took a photograph of the building. And that photo has been the basis of all of our animations and our visuals, both this year and again, or both last year and then this year. So we map everything to that. We then took that photo and we did create a 3D model from it that we do some 3D kind of modeling and animation from. We did a very intricate, detailed tracing of all of the architecture so that those little details do come in. But other than that, it really kind of starts with that picture. Every when we sit down to conceive a new animation, the first thing we do is pull up that photograph and start to compose on just the shape of the building.
Fascinating process. This is Dan Reynolds and Steve McGowan from the creative design and production company Brave Berlin talking about mapping the front of Music Hall for Luminosity. Luminosity 2014 taking place next weekend. Also here in the studio is Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra Vice President of Communications Chris Pinello. Taking your calls, 513-419-7100. And okay, so you start there, you get the music, and how did you pick the music? I mean, you obviously Louis Langres had a hand in that, and you know, did you have this in mind, knowing what could happen with the digital projection? Did you decide there were a couple of pieces that you wanted to have?
Yeah, we when Louis was thinking about a short program for Luminosity, and we had decided on the timing being, you know, 40-ish minutes, that we wanted, and Louis wanted to have something that really showcased different types of classical music, pieces that would also showcase the orchestra in meaningful ways, wanted to have a good mix of music, wanted to start with a real pow, and last year was Alser Sprach, the famous Strauss, 2001 A Space Odyssey, very, very, very dramatic. There were also pieces within Luminosity 2013 that were looking ahead to the 13-14 season, so for instance, the Tchaikovsky was then part of One City, One Symphony. And as Louis was thinking about this year's Luminosity, a lot of the same thought went into it. We're opening with Copland's iconic Fanfare for the Common Man, which many of your listeners may know was actually commissioned by the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra. Aaron Copland's iconic piece that is heard throughout the world, one of the most frequently performed classical pieces in the world, and I'm sure gets played a lot with Cincinnati Public Radio on your sister station, WGUC.
That's right. So and premiered here, too, as a matter of fact.
Yes, it had a premiere right there on the Music Hall stage, very appropriate. We have a John Adams piece And John Adams will actually be here later in the season conducting a brand new work. And the subscription opener has got a John Adams piece on it. And he's he's the Dean of American Composers. More Tchaikovsky, beautiful Elgar, and a beautiful, beautiful Borodin piece as well. And I think all of these pieces put together creates a really interesting sonic palette for what happens on the building. It's eclectic, but also conducive to storytelling. And again, if you've never experienced an orchestra before, you're going to come and hear some real gems and different types of orchestral music. It's such an orchestra is such a versatile musical force with all those immensely talented musicians that can create all kinds of different sounds. So I think that's what Louis certainly had in mind in putting the program together. I'm very excited about hearing this year's program put together too. And I know these guys have been doing incredible interpretation visually of what they've been hearing.
Now, we'll talk about that music that will be featured on Luminosity later here on Cincinnati Edition when we start talking classical music. And we'll share some of those melodies that Chris was just talking about as well. So that's coming up in about 15 minutes or so. Well, I wanted to ask, okay, you get the music. You said this was a new endeavor for you. And I imagine that you can... Much of this music has a story and sound, mm-hmm. but do you do a little bit of research into the rest of the piece to also find those little kernels of what's happening?
Absolutely. It starts there. It really does. And part of it, there's a tremendous amount of research and care that goes into sort of learning the music and hearing the music. And then you sort of, in your mind's eye, can start to see and imagine what could come to life on the building. So we go to the drawing board, and we start to sketch, and we sketch ideas very similar to how you would create a film. And we start to animate in two dimension and pay particular attention to transitions and things that we think will start to really be enhanced by the music. You know, cymbal crashes, timpani drums, things that kind of, you know, crescendo, things that will happen that visually can come to life. What we learned and as we were studying this last year is people – listen to the music differently because of what they were seeing on the building, and vice versa. People that were really versed in classical music were then seeing, you know, visuals for the first time and appreciating this kind of mashup of these two art forms. So we start there. And like what's different this year is that each piece, and there are five with the addition of a prelude this year, we take those and we create sort of mini stories. Each one has its own story to tell. And I would say that any one of these could stand alone on its own and create its own show from that. Honestly. So, you know, as the orchestra sort of takes a bow between each segment, there will be some new excitement, you know, beginning each one individually. Some are palate cleansers. Others will have you on a magical ride and the energy and the adrenaline will be flowing. A bunch of surprises along the way that will just be, you know, showstoppers.
A lot of the wow, yeah. I guess, would yeah. what happens in Luminosity. Quite a
part
bit
of the
wow.
beginning of the process is to what, and I think probably is the most fun for us is we start the thing off by a strong collaboration with the CSO. We have a kickoff meeting, and this is where we just get a big download of what everyone feels and thinks and what's going on in their mind's eye when we hear this music. So we literally kicked off. We had an all-day meeting at 21C. We kind of sequestered ourselves, took everyone out of their normal day-to-day lives, and we sat in a room and we listened to the music. And we then did visual exercises that Steve and I are kind of used to doing. It's our way of gathering just raw data about what everyone's thinking. And that's really interesting for us because the CSO, you know, Chris and his whole team and Robert McGrath and Sherry Prentice and Trey Devi, all of them, they know this music so well. They're, you know, it's really, really mean, you know, it has deep meaning for them and they have lots of memories and deep-rooted thoughts about it. And that Steve and I don't have, you know, it's brand new to us. We literally had just heard some of these pieces and in some cases never even heard of the composers, you know, John Adams, for instance. Mm-hmm. And so it's really interesting for us to just kind of mind them, their mind's eyes of what they've always thought about and what they've always kind of saw in their mind's eyes as they listen to this music. And then we literally walk out of that meeting with a lot of raw data that we then go back and as Steve described, we take that and start to split it up and tear it down and whittle it down into something that we can start to work into a storyboard.
Your listeners might think this is, might even want to try this, is to listen to a piece of classical music and on a blank canvas, just a white sheet of paper, take a marker or a pen or a pencil and just let the pencil kind of take on the emotion. And we did that exercise, and it's amazing. When you start to put them up on a wall and you have 10 or so people doing this, what you start to discover is really similar but very different. And then when you start to layer them on top of each other, they create this, you know, dynamic kind of roadmap, if you will, of where we believe the music can take it, where the visuals can take the music.
It must be interesting to have a little more time this year to plan than last year. Do you feel the luxury of that little bit of extra time?
If you could give us two more weeks, that would be extra time. But we're...
No.
We were really looking forward to having that extra time, and I'm sure, yes, in the end, we've taken every bit of advantage of it, but it still just doesn't feel like enough. It's still a crush, and, you know, when you're given time, you take it. And we just kind of put more time into all the upfront conceptualizing and the editing that we would have to do of all the raw data and listening. So it's never enough time, but that's okay, because that's
well, you fill the time. There's a whole new level of complexity to each one of these pieces, and even in the animations, they're more dimensional, they're rich in their coloration. So that time is where we're spending in the details, and you're going to see it for sure. But also each piece, again, as they stand alone. During Fanfare for the Common Man, we went around Cincinnati and took portraits of folks, and just to see how vulnerable and how excited they were to participate in Luminosity. I can't tell you how they're going to show up, but I'll tell you that when people see it, they're going to be blown away. So that alone, those kind of nuances or new kind of additions have just really sort of taken the time for us to kind of get into the work a little bit more. And honestly, that's why we formed Brave Berlin. We want to be in the field. We want to be, you know, we want to be on stage, backstage, you know, and feeling the audience and what they feel. So it's been really, really rewarding. So you fill the time.
We have a tweet from Pete that says, do you have any idea of how many hours it takes to produce these animations, how many hours per minute? Say, I think what you mentioned, 40 minutes worth of music, Chris, so you get 40 minutes worth of digital projections.
It's really hard to say. I mean, it's really hard to put your finger on it because, like you said, the meeting I talked about before at the 21C, I think that happened back in January. And so, and the funny thing is you never stop working from that minute on.
Yeah.
You know, now there's time when you sit down and you actually begin animating. I mean, there's a big, big push of, like, extra long hours in day out at the computer. That's probably the last, 8 weeks or so that is really full time, full bore, pushing pixels around and making animation for us. But there's months and months of thinking about it and conceiving it and sketching and just daydreaming that goes into, and frankly, a lot of logistics as well, organizing your team and picking the right people for it and coordinating with other teams that have got to be put together. This year, there's a whole Luminosity Village experience that we had to kind of conceive of and design and make, you know, appropriate and on par with what we want the experience to be.
Well, Chris, the first Luminosity brought a lot of attention here in Cincinnati, but also around the world. You mentioned that it's rippled all around the globe.
It did. We were actually trending on Twitter. It was there were 2 million social media impressions from Luminosity, and I remember I got into the office on Monday, the Monday after, and there were just a number of calls. The BBC in England had tweeted about Luminosity, Gramophone. We were getting calls from New York City. People around the world were really kind of jazzed about this, especially folks in the classical music world. Like, what did you do? this looks absolutely incredible. And I would reply, it was. This far exceeded our expectations. And it's something that I think classical music can sometimes have an image of being staid, but it actually is a vibrant, living art form, and I think Luminosity reinforces that. The CSO has always been a place of experimentation. When we brought this idea to Louis Langre last year, he took about 3 seconds and said, "Why not?" He immediately thought this would be a great way to engage people in what we do. And I think that that's one of the reasons it's really captured the imagination around the world and people talking about it in on other continents. And I think that'll be very true, maybe even truer this year with Luminosity 2014.
And how lucky for us, I mean, that Louis said, why not? I mean, that's the luck I'm talking about. I mean, he had every right to say, no, I need to control this experience. This is my debut. I want to do it. You know, he had every reason in the world to say, no, we can't do that. We need to do something that is more predictable. And he didn't. He jumped in with that spirit of that spirit of bravery, and frankly, the entire CSO did last year. I mean, they were all walking into uncharted waters, and everyone was very carefully saying, let's do this. We're a brave organization, and we can handle this. And there was a lot of unknown.
Yeah.
The other example of a projection mapping with an orchestra I had seen a video of from Europe was very timed. They use a click track. So when we're performing with a live film, you have to use a click track. It's in the conductor's ear so they know exactly how to sync everything. And what we were doing was something completely new and different. In a sense, you're getting a live musical performance, but you're also getting a live performance on that building because in the trailer with these guys in the projectors is our associate conductor Robert Trevino with a video monitor of Louis conducting, and it is actually not predetermined in that sense. It's a fluid, real time performance, a living performance, and what you're seeing on the building is also reacting and living with that performance. So I think that in another sense, you know, Luminosity, while you can say in other parts of the world, maybe they've done a concert with projection mapping, I don't think, to my knowledge, no one had ever done it the way that we did it. And I think that's another reason it really captured the world's attention.
Well, between the music on the stage and the great work that Dan and Steve have done, Luminosity has really taken off, and the high demand for tickets. But as a result of the high demand of tickets for this year, you've developed new partnerships to help bring Luminosity to more people. And we only have like a minute or two left. You want to share how you're getting Luminosity spread about?
Thank you. So this year we actually did expand Luminosity by an entire night, and we realized for people to actually see the building and hear Luminosity, it was roughly 12,500 people in the park area. So we have three nights, 37,500. Those tickets went very, very quickly. And this has always been a gift to the community. We have wonderful sponsors who make it possible. And what we really wanted to do was, it's in the spirit of access, of generosity. We wanted to make sure that anyone who wanted to experience Luminosity could in some way. So on the 1st of August, the Friday night, we've got WGUC is going to do a radio broadcast. Now, Cincinnati is a very hilly city. There are many vantage points around the community where you can see Music Hall. You can imagine maybe on a rooftop or a hilltop being able to tune into WGUC 90.9, listen to the concert happening and see Luminosity from a distance. Frankly, you might get a spectacular view of it. On Saturday night, we're also doing a television broadcast thanks to our wonderful partners at CET, and they'll be doing the second half of the concert. And then on Sunday night, if you want to have a community gathering, get together with friends, bring the kids, they can run out on the lawn. Riverbend has 5 beautiful new LED boards. You can come out for free. The gates open at 7:30 p.m. Concessions will be open. Bathrooms open, everything. Bring a picnic, and you can experience Luminosity that way. Also, Fountain Square, 3CDC being very generous. Fountain Square will also have Luminosity available on the giant LED board at Fountain Square. In addition, people around the world on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday can watch Luminosity live via webcast.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. And thank you all for being here today. It's I can't wait to see what you two have come up with the cast of thousands for this year. And, of course, always love to hear that CSO.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra Vice President of Communications, Chris Spinello, along with Steve McGowan and Dan Reynolds from the creative design and production company Brave Berlin, talking about Luminosity 2014. It takes place next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Washington Park. All three nights sold out, but there are options for seeing the show that you just heard Chris talk about. You can find out more at WVXU.org. And as mentioned, WVXU's sister station, Classical 90.9 WGUC, will be broadcasting Luminosity live on Friday night, beginning around 8. That is the Cincinnati Pops performing in the first half and the CSO in the second half. Details about that on our website, too. So the music of Luminosity. some help appreciating the beauty of that music, just ahead on Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.